Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome here this morning. My name's Keith. I'm a pastor at the church, and I'm thankful that you're here. That's one of the things I'm thankful for. We have a great deal to be thankful for, don't we? Formerly, we were outsiders, cut off from God's presence. You know, anytime we say no to the giver of life, we get the opposite of the giver of life. Darkness, despair, death. Yet God in his great love was not content to leave people separated from him, cut off from his presence. So he sends the person of Jesus to come, not simply to show us who God is and what he's like, but to bring his great redemptive plan for all of his creation to bear. And it comes to bear on a cross where he takes the brokenness and sin and shame of the world upon himself in order to break its curse, so that no longer do people who formerly walked as outsiders and in brokenness need to live outside and in brokenness. Christ, through his sacrifice, has welcomed us into the very presence of God, where we can be forgiven of our sin, made clean and made whole through Jesus. Oh, we have a great deal to be thankful for this morning. We're thankful for Jesus, for the gospel, and for the story he is unfolding in human history so that all might come to know the saving work of Christ. Happy Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. My kids are at this age where they're starting to go to sleepovers at their friend's house. That's one thing that I'm thankful for. A few quiet evenings here and there throughout the year. But it's interesting when you move into this stage of life with your kids. It's like a test of your parenting up to that point, right? Will they behave on the sleepover? Or will they make a complete fool of me as a parent on that sleepover, right? And in the 5 minutes before sending them out the house to the sleepover, I try and pack in 8 years of life lessons in the 5 minutes as I send them out, right? Maybe parents, you can identify with this. I don't want them to make me look bad, right? Don't forget to brush your teeth, my son. Don't forget to go pee before you go to bed, my son. Don't forget to aim. You know, all the life lessons that you try and cram in those 5 minutes. But I always save the most important instruction for last. Don't forget to say thank you, right? Any parents can identify with this? Thankfulness. It usually tops the list of the priorities that we have for our kids. And it's not simply about having a successful sleepover. Somehow we understand that being thankful will help our kids in life. It'll help them. I often tell Sophia and Luca, both of my kids, remember to say thank you, or go and thank your mom, or more often, you should be thankful. I got to be honest about that one. But I'm not interested in eliciting an empty thanks from my children. I don't want them to go through the motions. Rather, I want to help them. I want to help them become thankful people. When I was younger, in my 20s and 30s, I really admired intelligent people. Intelligent people, I admired them. Academics and entrepreneurs and innovators. But as I grow older, now in my early 40s, I've come to most admire thankful people. It's a different measure of success. Scientists like Dr. Robert Emmons, and who's at the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Michael McCullough from the University of Miami, and many other scientists, they have shown some of the benefits of being people who regularly give thanks in our life. And here's what the scientists say. They say that practicing thanksgiving improves your relationships, It improves your physical health and energy levels and your emotional health. But there's more. Being thankful and practicing Thanksgiving, it helps you sleep better. It gives you higher self-esteem, and it decreases your pain, stress, and anxiety. Scientifically speaking, thankful people are better equipped to navigate life. So you know what? The research makes me feel much better about my parenting. I'm not out to lunch when I'm yelling at my kids, "You should be thankful. It's going to make you a happy person." But on a serious note, does telling my kids to say thanks make them more thankful people in life? Does learning to practice Thanksgiving make a person more thankful? I think the answer to that question is yes. People who practice Thanksgiving, they become more thankful people. And in turn, experience a greater enjoyment and fulfillment in life, regardless of the circumstances that they find themselves in. We see this wisdom all throughout the Bible, on almost every page. God is calling us as his people who know why we're thankful. He calls us to the practice of thanksgiving. All through the Bible, it comes as, you might be surprised, a command. It comes as an instruction, an imperative even. Give thanks. Be thankful. When David brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he instructs God's people, give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That refrain is found over and over again in the Old Testament. Psalm 118 opens and ends with the same instruction. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Then the command. Give thanks. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and then be thankful. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. On that one, note that we're not told to give thanks for all circumstances. There are some circumstances that are so deep and heavy that we don't give thanks for. But can we give thanks in them? All through the scriptures, we see God calling his people to practice thanksgiving. And to be honest, this used to frustrate me. It used to frustrate me because it sounded like God was telling me to do something that wasn't coming naturally out of my heart. It used to frustrate me until I came to understand God's wisdom behind the instruction. What frustrated me was the fact that God is telling us to practice thanksgiving. Can you ever really tell someone to be thankful? Seems somewhat inauthentic to me, like something we're being asked to put on. Yet, there is a deep wisdom at play here that God knew long before the scientists discovered it. Practicing thanksgiving, it makes for thankful people. Even more than that, practicing thanksgiving is a pathway toward wholeness. It brings satisfaction to the soul. I want to spend our time this morning helping you see the benefit of the Christian practice of giving thanks. And not simply on a day like this, a day like Thanksgiving, but as a practice to carry with you into every day of your life. We need to learn the regular practice of giving thanks. Now, in part, we need to learn it because as human beings, we are conditioned to focus on the negative things in life. We're actually conditioned for it. I remember as a young pastor sitting down in a coffee shop with my supervisor. We were there for him to give me my first ever staff evaluation. Who here loves a good staff evaluation? My supervisor's name was Dave, and he's one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. He's so encouraging and supportive. And so we sat in the coffee shop, and we spoke for an hour. And for almost the entire time, Dave encouraged me. He told me how well I was doing and how proud he was of me. And you know what? I can't remember a single detail of what he said that day, except for the last 5 minutes of our conversation. They are vivid in my mind. I remember the details of that part of the conversation almost word for word, and you can probably guess why. Because it was in those 5 minutes that Dave gave me accurate feedback in an area of ministry that I wasn't doing well in. They were honest words. I remember the 5 minutes of criticism vividly, but nothing about the 55 minutes of praise. You see, we can stew over a single criticism, but totally forget the positives, can't we? You've experienced this. Again, the scientists, they explain it. They try and explain it for us. They say that the human brain has a bias toward the negative, that we're hardwired to remember the negative more than we are to remember the positive in life. And the reason for this is because throughout human history, remembering and anticipating the negative experiences and the negative consequences, it's helped us as human beings to survive. Let me give you an example. Think of living in a dangerous environment like the jungle. Maybe you have kids and you can really relate. But no, let's think of a real jungle for a moment. In that environment, it's the people who are constantly focused on the negative. The people who are constantly focused on the possibility of a tiger jumping out over the bush and eating you alive at any moment. It's the people focused on the negative that tend to survive. Even though there might only be a 1 in a million chance of a tiger jumping out and killing you, those ready for the 1 in a million chance are the most likely to survive. And over time, our brains have learned to hold on to the negative as a protective measure. We can stew over one criticism and totally forget the 100 other compliments a person pays us. And maybe you've experienced that with a supervisor of your own, or with a spouse, or a friend, maybe a parent. Maybe all you've been able to hear is the one criticism, even though there were positive things being said all throughout. And there's a reason for it. It's because our brains have a bias toward the negative. So enters practicing thanksgiving. Practicing thanksgiving is a way of retraining our brain to perceive God's world more accurately. It's God's wisdom for moving us away from a destructive bias and toward the satisfaction that our soul actually longs for. Peace and enjoyment in life. This morning, I want to point you toward 4 things that practicing thanksgiving does in the life of a person. 4 things that practicing thanksgiving can do in your life, even today. The first thing is a big picture thing. Practicing thanksgiving makes a person whole. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. In Luke chapter 17, Luke tells us a story about a time that Jesus heals 10 people suffering from leprosy, a nasty skin disease. And so these lepers, they cry out to Jesus for help from a distance because people with leprosy, they were forbidden to approach a healthy person lest they make that healthy person unclean. And so they cry out to Jesus from a distance, asking him to help to heal them. And Jesus' response is interesting. He simply tells them to go and see the priest in town.
And the text tells us that as the 10 of them make their way to see the priest, all 10 of them are healed. The disease leaves all 10 of their bodies. It's an amazing part of the story. But apparently one of the 10, on the way to running toward the priest, he stops. He turns around and he starts running toward Jesus. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and he gives thanks. A deep, profound thanks. And listen to how Jesus responds. Verse 17 to 19. Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And now there's a lot to notice in this story, but there's one thing in particular I want you to notice. And it's not simply that this one man showed a deep gratitude, a thanksgiving to Jesus. I want you to see what Anne Voskamp drew to my attention in her book, 1,000 Gifts. I want you to see that the man who practiced thanksgiving received something that the other 9 men or other people missed out on. Jesus tells the thankful one, he speaks these words only to the thankful one, and says, "Your faith has made you well." I don't think he's talking about the healing. The word translated "well" here in the Greek is the word sozo. It means salvation. It is God taking action to save. The sozo of God is about God's salvation coming to a person. And salvation is about coming full circle out of the brokenness and into the wholeness, into the full life that God intends for his creation. God's sozo is life in its fullness. It is God making a person whole. And so Jesus turns to the one man after he has come with his heartfelt thank you to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you sozo." Salvation has come full circle. The fullness of life has restored a person's life. A person has been made whole. Why? Because of the healing? No. All 10 received that. The wholeness of sozo belonged to the one who returned to Jesus and gave thanks. Reflecting on this, Voskamp says, "We only enter into the full life if our faith gives thanks. Thanksgiving is necessary to live the whole, fullest life. We only enter into the full life that Jesus came to give if our faith gives thanks." I think Voskamp is bang on. Sozo comes full circle when we give thanks. It's a pathway to wholeness when we thank God for what he has done in our life. For some of you here today, practicing thanksgiving is like a missing piece in your life. In all honesty, perhaps you're in a place in life where you feel like you're stuck in a rut these days, like something's missing. Like joy and satisfaction are elusive. Like you're stuck in this cycle of purposeless days, day in and day out. Stepping into a rhythm of giving thanks for the things God has done and the things he's blessed you with, it can help you find the very thing that is missing. It can make all the difference in your life. It can lead you to the wholeness in Jesus that you've been made to enjoy. It's a pathway to wholeness. It's the first thing. Now, we all know that from our life experience that being thankful is easy when things are going well, right? Like when the bills are getting paid and the kids are healthy and when you've been healed from leprosy, those kind of things. It's easy to thank God in those moments. But it's much more difficult to be thankful when everything seems to be going wrong, when the storm of life hits. Perhaps that's what Thanksgiving feels like for you this year, a storm, a relationship that's hurting, a marriage that's struggling, or maybe you've lost someone close to you, a child, a parent, maybe a friend. Or the Thanksgiving storm you're in, it's because you've longed to have a child, but you live with the grief of not being able to conceive. Perhaps this is how you're coming into the Thanksgiving weekend, with a heavy heart. And I want to acknowledge that the last thing you need is someone standing on a platform quoting Bobby McFerrin to you. Don't worry, be happy. Clichés make terrible lifeboats when you feel like you're drowning in one of life's storms. But here is the deep wisdom of God, the deep wisdom that no one should miss. Practicing thanksgiving, it keeps us from going under in troubled times. Practicing thanksgiving can be God's lifeboat in the storm. David wrote most of the Psalms that we read in the Bible, and his life was full of storms, full of troubles. As a child, he was verbally bullied by his older brothers. As a young man, he was chased by a powerful king who tried to kill him, and he survived on the run, in the shadows, living in caves. His marriage experienced great hardship. He lost a newborn son. And his fully grown son organized a revolt and mutiny against him. Add to this the fact that he made some pretty self-destructive choices in his life, sinful choices that ruined seasons of his life and the lives of people around him. Yet in the midst of the storm, David would often pause. In the midst of the storm, he would pause and he'd sing. And he'd write music. He'd sing songs like Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all the benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You see, sometimes the practice of giving thanks is what keeps us afloat in the storm. I've spoken with two people this week about the hardest seasons they've ever had to walk through in life. Both of them told me how practicing thanksgiving helped get them through. This is not cliche. My friend Chris, he told me about the dark storm that entered his life. And it was in the midst of this storm that he started keeping a journal. And every morning, he would spend time with God, thanking him for four things. In the midst of the storm, his practice became having to write out. And I wonder how many mornings it was so difficult to scratch the words on the paper with his pen, to write out four things he was thankful for. And my friend told me I could share this. He said he would thank God for first an old relationship, then for an opportunity he had that day. Something that happened the day before was the third thing. And then fourth, something simple, something that was near him, around him, like a pen that he was writing, liked to write with, or the coffee cup that he liked to drink from. And when he told me about this practice that he began in a dark and difficult time in his life, Chris simply said this. He said, learning to give thanks to God has changed my life. It's turned my life around. And the second person I spoke with this week about giving thanks was my wife, Gina. The hardest storm she has faced was losing her mom to cancer. And one of the ways that God helped Gina through the storm was through the practice of thanksgiving. for Gina taking time to thank God for the smallest of things and the biggest of things in that season. It opened her life to something greater in the midst of her life's worst moments. It's no cliche. It's God's wisdom. It's God's power. Practicing thanksgiving, it keeps us from going under in troubled times. Perhaps for you, it's the lifeboat that God is inviting you to step into today. Poet Mary Oliver, she writes a poem that captures the power of what giving thanks does in a person's life. It's in her book of poems called Thirst. This is what she writes. Praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Practicing thanksgiving is like a doorway into God's presence. Whether it be thanking God for weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones, when we give thanks to God, even for the little things, if we're attentive, we're entering into something sacred. Thanksgiving is a way of stepping into the presence of the one from whom every good and perfect gift proceeds. It's the third thing I want you to see. Practicing thanksgiving is a doorway into God's presence. See, it's one thing to give thanks for the gifts that we have been given, to be thankful for the clean air that we breathe and the roof over our heads or our intellect or our beauty or our car or our bed, our privilege, our ability to vote. It's one thing to be thankful for these gifts that we possess in life. But it's another thing altogether to look beyond the gift to the one who gives it. You see, Christian thanksgiving is different than simply being thankful. Christian thanksgiving always moves us beyond the gift to behold the giver, who is God. David writes, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why? For he is good. His love endures forever. It has not ever failed a person, and it never will. We give thanks because there is a personal, loving, faithful God who is behind all that we have, behind all that we enjoy, behind all that we delight in. Practicing thanksgiving always serves the greater purpose of drawing us beyond the gifts that we're thankful for and into the presence of the one who gives them. And if we're attentive, if we're intentional, practicing thanksgiving is the doorway through which we can pass each day to enjoy not simply the gift, but living with the one who gives every good and perfect thing. Perhaps you feel distant from God these days, or you feel like he's distant from you. Maybe it's that you haven't heard his voice in a long while, that you haven't felt his closeness. Why not spend time this week practicing thanksgiving? Simply thanking God for what you see, for what you have, for what he's done in your life in the past. It might just be the doorway to the closeness that you're looking for, the doorway into his presence. That's what giving thanks does. It's a doorway to his presence. And so, practicing thanksgiving, it makes us whole. It keeps us from going under in life's storms, and it's a doorway into God's presence. But there's one last thing. Practicing thanksgiving helps us see that there's more. It helps us see that there's more to be thankful for. It's amazing how when we begin to practice thanksgiving in our life, it has a snowball effect. Practicing thanksgiving literally makes us more thankful people. About 6 weeks ago, I was driving my old Kia Rondo home after church, and I almost didn't make it home. Cruising up Gordon Drive, the engine began to sputter, and my top speed clocked out at about 35 kilometers an hour. There was a train of cars behind us as we tried to get up the hill, and I managed to limp the car up the hill and into my driveway, but that was it. The thing was completely dead. And so we called for the tow truck to come, bring it to the shop, and the mechanic said, "She's done. Don't even try." And so I had to get a new car. So I went out and I bought an 8-year-old Mazda CX-7 with 130,000 kilometers on it. And I'm loving it. It's got a sunroof. I can get all the soccer gear in the back. The engine works. Like, that is a good thing. And the thing is, if you asked me 6 weeks ago to point out a Mazda CX-7 on the road, I wouldn't have known where to start. I wouldn't be able to tell you what it looked like. But now, I see them everywhere. And practicing Thanksgiving is like that. Once we make it part of our life, we start to recognize things that we're thankful for all over the place. We see it everywhere. Our capacity for thanksgiving grows when we practice giving thanks. And maybe you're here today, and quite frankly, there are things about your own personality. Let's be honest. There are things about your own personality that you're not proud of. I see it in myself. Or maybe even for you, there are things that you don't like about yourself. You're often cranky or grumpy. Or you find that you complain a lot. Or maybe it's that you often feel ungrateful in life. Or you have a hard time getting along with other people. Let me invite you today into the practice of giving thanks. To start small and thank God for the little things. Because over time, you might just find that giving thanks is God's invitation to see the world through a whole new set of lenses. To slowly become the person that you've always wanted to be.